Now, what do you think that Raymond needs to do with those difficult people? You know, Jesus loved Raymond too, right? Y'all get that one? Amen. We need God's solution for dealing with the crazy makers in our lives, don't we? Amen. Do you ever feel like there's are people in your life that are on the mission to making you crazy? Eh? Okay, we're going to pray right now that the Lord help us get this today, okay? Father, such an important message today, and we need your help because you love people. And people can be difficult. And with you, Lord, we know that we can follow you and miracles can happen, relationships can develop, but we need to know how to do that. And there's just some situations right now, Lord, that we're having a problem with, and we need to know your solution. So help our hearts to be open. Help our ears to hear what you have to say, and help us get it on the inside of us, Lord. And everybody say amen. Now look to the person next to you and tell them it's good to be alive. It's good to be alive. Look to the person that was your second choice and tell them that they need this message today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. Verse 23. This is our theme scripture verse. Goes this way. Again, I say don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, to be apt to teach, to be patient with difficult people. Did y'all read that in your Bible? Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Don't preach to them. Perhaps God will change those people's heart, and they will learn the truth. They will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Amen. You ever heard the slogan, "The devil made me do it"? That's in your scripture right there, isn't it? Amen. The devil wants you and me to be difficult. Did y'all know that? Did you know the enemy's goal today is to cause you to be a difficult person? That feeds into his plan and his will. Now, if you haven't figured it out yet today, go ahead and let's get this clear. God is absolutely aware that difficult people exist. Is that okay? Now, dealing with people day in and day out is difficult, including ourselves. And it's imperative that we understand difficult people. Why is this? Why is it important? Because there's always going to be people in our lives that cause trouble. That's not going to stop. Just get that revelation today. You think that that's going to stop one day? It's not. Amen. We're going to have to move into eternity. And I still don't know what God's plan is with that. Amen. Because we're perfect when it results as you equal maturity. Perfection is God, and to reach that, amen, it'll take eternity to get there. But some people seem to be missionaries of misery to wreak havoc in the world, and you feel like you have your personal missionary at times wreaking havoc in your life, don't you? Nonetheless, it's important that we understand the DNA of the difficult. We have to take time to hear what the Lord is saying about those that we perceive to be difficult. So what makes a difficult person? Answering this question is going to help us understand where they're coming from. It's also going to help us understand that maybe we're being difficult too. And so Paul lets us know that nobody is perfect. He makes it clear in Romans 3:23, which many believers can quote, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory," or the goodness of God. Everybody falls short in that category. So you may be surprised to know that you might be the difficult one. Shh, We're not going to tell anybody. You're not allowed to point during the message today. It's not cool that you bruise somebody's ribs with an elbow. All right? Clear the temptation out, because we need to hear what God has to say on how we deal with difficult people. Another reason why relationships can be so difficult is there isn't any more important thing to God, or there isn't anything more unimportant to the devil than relationships. You see, God designed us to be relational. He did not mean for any one of us to be on an island of isolation. We're designed to be connected, to do small groups, to walk in freedom, to be married, to have children, to work, to play together. We're designed to join teams. We want to be a part of clubs, associations. We just want to be together. It's in our DNA. And so if there's anything that I would suggest today that we consider that the enemy calls the main thing in his kingdom, the main thing in the enemy's kingdom is to divide and to break up relationships. So why is this? Because healthy relationships reproduce the greatest joy in our life. But also, relationships can and do cause the greatest wounds. They do cause pain. They cause struggles out of conflict. And so, how do you handle that conflict? How you do it has everything to do with life. Amen. So if you're not paying attention, it's easy to get caught in the snare of symptoms. Symptoms. Jesus never got caught in the snare of relational symptoms. How did he do this? How did he do this? Because Jesus dealt with a lot of types of symptoms. And why did he deal with a lot of types of symptoms? Because he dealt with a lot of types of people. And you deal with a lot of types of people as well. So I'm going to take a moment today and just point out a few examples of difficult people today. Number one, I want to point out the hammer. This is one type of a difficult person, the hammer. Amen. These people are aggressive. They're hostile. They hold the idea that you're wrong, I'm right. End of discussion. That's the hammer. These persons express themselves with intimidation. Have you ever been intimidated by somebody before? Well, in your relationship, if you're dealing with intimidation, you're dealing with the hammer personality, that type. Then you have the number two type, the megaphone type. Amen. These people love to talk. They go on and on and on, like the Energizer Bunny. Matter of fact, they can go longer than the Energizer Bunny. Matter of fact, they will talk you into submission. They will talk you into a commitment, like a car salesman. Car salesmen, they have to work. They got to make their way, and they'll talk you into buying that thing, right? Then you have the bubble buster. This person is negative about everything. They put everything down. Didn't Johnny play a good game last night? No, he's not a good player at all. Didn't we have a wonderful family reunion this year? FYI, I'm never going with you to your family function ever again. Bubble buster personality. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Then you have the volcano. They say things out of anger and hurt. They spew out things that are excessive and unwarranted. Matter of fact, amen, they react emotionally to circumstances that surround them. The volcano. Then you have the space cadet. They live in their own world. Amen. They don't even realize they have their own world. When you try to talk to them, they're never at home. Amen. They're in the twilight zone. These people don't do good on teams because they're dealing with the fact that they're spaced out all the time. Then you have the clam. They give the silent treatment. They manipulate with the mute button. Amen. The clam. Then you got the nitpicker. They find something and they stay on it, nitpicking. They won't stop. They go on and on and on, amen, about what they think is important. Amen. Then what you have is the garbage amen, collector, the garbage collector. They replay the hurt. They replay the wounds. Amen. They rehearse the pain of past relationships and events in this city and that city. They gather it all up. They haul it to the next conversation, into the next day, into the next year. They will dump it out in any conversation that comes up. You remember back in 02, we was having dinner one evening, and you took the last piece of fried chicken on the plate, and I'm hurt, and I hadn't got over it yet. Everything they talk about stinks, right? These are the different types of people that can be difficult. In these different types, you and I get to choose how we're to respond to them, because they're going to respond to life differently than you respond. And so we have a choice in that. One of the challenges that we are difficult ourselves, and we deal with difficult people because, amen, difficult people see through a unique lens different than our lens. And their lens is real to them. And one of those lenses have to do with they see things, amen, through a magnifying glass. Amen. They see things in a distorted manner. You can just make a simple comment. And the moment you make a comment that's innocent, they magnify that comment and see it in a distorted way. And they're difficult to communicate with because they're looking through a different lens than you look through. And you need to understand where they are. Magnifying things is real to them because they hold, amen, a different idea of life than you hold. Then you have those that look through the lens that is layered. It's layered with offenses. Amen. They've been offended. Their offense has layers to it. And when you talk to them, they want to talk about the first layer. And you may be thinking, man, we've gotten through this and we're through. And they say, no, we're not through talking yet. We got to pull the layer back and talk about the next layer of this offense now. And then you will be thinking, man, I'm through talking about it. We've got it. No, we're not through yet. We want to talk about it a little bit longer. There's another layer here. Amen. And they go on and on with the layers of why they're offended. And they're difficult to deal with. But we need to understand why they see offense in a layered way. But probably the one that's everybody is affected by, and that's the lens of me, myself, and I. Everything is about me. Whatever's going on in life, I need you to understand where I'm at. And if it don't fit my little world and how I perceive things, y'all like these lenses? Then I'm going to be difficult. And I make everything in life about me. And that can be difficult. People do that often. Everything they do in life. And we can talk and we say, I believe in Jesus Christ. And man, I'm with him. And amen, you can count on me. But the reason they're never involved is because, amen, it's really more about them than it is God and others. Those people see through these lenses and they're sincere. So what do we do with difficult people? We do have choices. Amen. It's important that we remember that no one will choose for us how we are to deal with difficult people. You have to make that choice. What are my choices? Amen. One choice you can make the choice to curse it. In other words, when somebody's being difficult, you can just live angrily. And you can get on their level and live where they're at. Because they're difficult, bless God, I'm going to be difficult too. And you can choose to curse it. In other words, amen. Bless God, I'm not going to be Christ. You're going to be that way, I'm going to be this way. But then, you can have a good day, and everything's going perfect, and somebody drop by and give you, you know, a piece of their mind. And you can choose to curse it, or you could choose to nurse it. Amen. You could choose to nurse the hurt. Take it with you. Live that hurt out the rest of your life. And the only reason anybody nurses hurt is because they're in this continual mode of rehearsing the event that happened. The more they rehearse it, they nurse it. And they justify the nursing of this offense in their life. So it is when we come to this conclusion that I can curse it, I can nurse it because I'm rehearsing it, or I can just step up to where the Lord wants me to step and see through His lens, and I could reverse it. You see, we hear things people say about us. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then when we hear what they say about us, we got a decision to make. I can agree with it, and I can live from their lens, or I can agree with God and live from His lens. We've been given authority and power through the blood of Jesus Christ. He knew how to deal with difficult people. And so He dealt with a whole world full of difficult people, including me. And He died my death on my behalf and gave me the kind of power and authority to be an overcomer, amen, of what my flesh nature wants to do. My flesh nature wants to retaliate, react to difficult situations and people in my life. But He gives me something, amen, that's truth, and truth makes me free. Truth makes you free. And we're here today because we need some truth about how to deal with difficult people. Amen. And so Romans 8 and 2 tells us, you know, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Lord knows how to take the fuss out. He knows how to take the offense out. He knows how to give us the ability to turn the other cheek, to do good when evil's been done to us. The Bible responses for dealing with difficult people. Pretty powerful here today, because relationships are fragile and they can cause deep wounds in all of our lives. Many of us are in a volcano moment in relationships. Some of you are being used, and some of you are using somebody in your relationship right now. Question is, what are you going to do about that? How are we going to respond from this point forward? Because right now, some of you, if not many of you, feel manipulation going on. You feel the spirit of control in a relationship in your life at this point. And we need God's help to help us if we're going to navigate these difficult situations and people. And so the first thing that you can agree to today in moving forward and understanding how to deal with difficult people is, number one, realize you cannot please everybody. You cannot please everybody. Jesus reveals this about Himself in John 5 and 30. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. Jesus demonstrates how to please God while dealing with difficult people. He demonstrates how to resist the temptation to get even with difficult people, and in the process, bless them while they're cursing you. He shows us how to do that. There was a time in my life that I wanted to make everybody happy. I still would like for everybody to be happy today, don't get me wrong, but you know, after a while, I come to this understanding that, you know, a man-pleaser is so confusing, but one that's pleasing God is so freeing. Because if I'm in this to please Him, guess what? I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth will make you free. Right? And that truth is not going to be without the fruit of the Spirit of God facilitating that truth. It's not something you just throw in somebody's face. Amen. When you tell the truth and you do it in the Spirit of God, it's because you understand where people are. You understand why they look through the lens they look through. And you're able now to pray for them and bless them, and God deliver them from that lens they're looking through. Anybody agree with that? So dealing with difficult people doesn't mean that you're to be difficult, to be rude and crude and be people repellent. No. It gives us the freedom to know that you've done all that you can do, and at the end of the day, I need to please God. Bottom line. Pleasing God is what it's all about, because that equals worship. But after you realize that you can't please everyone, then the next step you make is you refuse to play the game. Can't please people, and I refuse to play the game. In John 2:24, this is what Jesus said, or this is spoken about Jesus. And Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. Jesus never allowed people to pull him into their games. He didn't allow them to drag him into their little attitudes. Jesus didn't let people pull him into this blame and control and manipulation and lies. You know, the soap opera didn't attract Jesus in life. This is the kind of stuff that Jesus wouldn't get pulled into that happens on Twitter today and Facebook. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, social media, someone sends you a little message, and you get all lathered up. Bless God, I'm finna give them a piece of my mind. My comments coming right behind it. What's happening is someone is starting to make a crazy maker here. The moment that you yield to the urge to reply and you make the comment on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or texting, the hook has been set. Follow Jesus. Refuse to play the game. Follow Jesus. Don't get sucked in, amen, to the enemy's kingdom, and make a platform for him to be glorified in. So the moment that you refuse to play the game, it's time to now rise above it. Rise above it. Isaiah says here in Isaiah 40 and 31, but those who wait on the Lord. I'm going to give it some time. Somebody just sent a comment about me on Facebook. Give it some time. Let's go talk to the Lord about it. Amen. Let's wait on the Lord's instruction from that point. He said, those that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be wearied. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Like eagles, we can rise above it. It's important for every one of us to know, because clouds are going to form. Clouds of jealousy, clouds of envy, clouds of malice, clouds of gossip. They're going to form. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? The Lord says you can rise above it. You can fly. Somebody said, man, if you're going to fly with eagles, you can't hang out with turkeys. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the spirits that we can carry. Amen. When you rise above the influence of a difficult person, your mind is now made up to number four, never retaliate. Never retaliate. This is a painful one. In this passage, when we read it, it's difficult to believe, much less do. But we're going to read it. And God bless you as you consider it. Amen. In 1 Peter 3 and 9, Peter's instructing all believers. Anybody a believer here? This is to all the believers in Jesus Christ. Get ready. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a... yeah, right. I'm going to pay them back, all right. This is... come on, this is what God called you and me to do. And when we answer the call, then he will grant you, come on, everybody wants to be blessed. And did you know that every time you retaliate to someone that's difficult, you lose the blessing? Oh, man. I told you, this is God talking to us today about how to deal with difficult people. That when a difficult person shows up in your life, guess what? There's a blessing waiting on you on the other side. The question is, how are you going to get there? How do you get there? Because the enemy is working, because he wants you to be cursed. And his whole goal is to get you to put the me, myself, and I glasses on and take it personal. The moment I take it personal, I lose my blessing and I get the curse. Is anybody getting this? That all these difficult people you've been thinking was a big issue in your life was there because God wants to bless you. And that small group you hadn't been going to because difficult people go to it, You're missing your blessing. You're missing your miracle. Because God wants to talk to you about that person that's so difficult because he's in love with them. And he's got something to say about them. And he will tell you exactly what's going on in their life. Because you can then stand in the gap. You can make up the hedge. You can pray for them. You can speak life into them. And man, God will do a miracle. And you can say, look what the Lord's done. And guess what follows that? Blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give in your bosom. You're getting all kind of mercy, all kind of compassion. People are showing you wonderful things in life. Blessing you. There to serve, encourage you, edify you. I told you this was going to be a hard one to deal with. Because God's asking us to quit making it about us and make it about him and others. And guess what? Them others equal difficult people. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't like this thing called worship, because for me to worship, I have to deny myself. I have to bring myself down and submit to a reality that I can't gossip, I can't be negative, I can't talk bad about somebody, because when I'm doing that, I'm validating the curse in my life. And I go to church, and I believe in spirit baptism, and I believe in separation from the world, and I believe in all this good stuff. But at the same time, I got a problem with people. And I'm supposed to be stewarding the treasure, and the treasure's people. You and I are called to be stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation as believers. He gave me that ministry and you that ministry. And the enemy knows it, so he's got to stop us from being that ministry. Do y'all believe that the Lord wants us to be blessed? And so, if he wanted me to be blessed, why I got to deal with people? And when you get a vision of what he dealt with because of me and you, and what he took, if I'd have been the only person or you'd have been the only person on earth, he loved you and me that much, he'd have died for us. And what he dealt with me, and when I begin to see it from the right lens, all of a sudden, this journey ain't hard. I'll go with you, Daddy. Wherever you want to go. Amen. I need God. Amen. So Peter gives us the kind of truth that sets us free from the influence of difficult people. How is that? By not retaliating. You know, Jesus could have retaliated. Boy, he's not the kind of person you want to pick on. But, I mean, if you're going to pick on somebody, I guess he'd be the one, because he's merciful. But had he retaliated, could you just imagine with you for just a moment? A bunch of hard-headed husbands. Or said, okay, you will be hard-headed. I'll teach you. I'm going to turn you into mice right now. And I'm going to turn all the wives into cats. Y'all have a good day now. Jesus never retaliated. Instead of retaliation, he takes that punishment upon himself. Now, when you allow God to help you, when I allow God to help me, we're able to, number five, release people. Release them. Some people you and I just cannot fix. Is that okay? I wish I could, but it's okay that you can't fix them. You can release them, though. All you have to do is give them to God. Amen? All you can do is love them from this point forward while they're being difficult. Amen? Lord, help me. Thank you. You ask, that's good. Seek that. Knock on my door. I'll help you. Amen? That's all I need to know. It's they're there. Not for evil, but for good, to teach me how to walk like him and how to validate I trust him. You got, this is good. You married to somebody that's validating you trust God. Why you had to go there, preacher? Because the enemy will come and tell you that your spouse is difficult and that you don't deserve this in your life. Anybody, come on now. I mean, I'm trying to live for God, trying to do what God wants me to do. Here they are, hard-headed spouse. Always causing me trouble. Man, I want to knock them out. No, I'm being honest with you. I'm saying some of the things you've said. And God is wanting to validate something in you, that you trust him. And that if you'll trust him to be Lord, he's the miracle worker. He's the one that brings us together. Me and my wife didn't come together because we were smart. And we're not living after 35 years together because we were smart. We're together because God's God and he's awesome. I only live with Tammy, and Tammy only lives with me right now because God is helping us appreciate what God's doing in us. But I'm blue and she's pink, no doubt about it. And if God ain't around, blue and pink is having a problem. But when God is there, it kind of blends. We get it. We start, amen, yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm seeing, though. And the more I trust God, the more I understand her. The more she trusts God, the more she understands me. And what it does that's so powerful, it validates what worship means now. Worship isn't about me. Worship is about me trusting Him. Amen. And He puts a man and woman together and causes us to be attracted to one another because He has a plan and He has a story He wants to put on display. The question is, are we willing to go with Him on the journey? He can help me and you deal with difficult people, and He can help me and you deal with the fact that we're difficult. Amen. Matthew 5:44, but I pray, love your enemies. I say, love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you. Pray for those who don't like you or care for you. They may even hate you. They may look at you with disdain and disgust. Have you ever been looked at by somebody with that look? God, you want to give me that look? I gave you that look. Huh? Release them. Let them go. I found out something very powerful, that when I pray, I see people differently. When I have fellowship with Daddy, all of a sudden, you become precious. When someone's hurt me, I want to react. I want to put matters in my own hands. I want to retaliate. But when I pray for them and I take the time to discover why a person is the way they are, it's during this time of fellowship with the Holy Spirit that I begin to get the idea that God wants me to extend grace and mercy. Amen. We just sent about a year ago, we sent a power washer over here to be fixed to one of the businesses, which I'm not going to say. We went to go pick it up after it was fixed, and they didn't have it. We've got the little receipt where we turned it in to get fixed, and you're supposed to swap the receipt for the item, you know. And they don't have it. And we're thinking, okay. And the more they researched, they said, well, didn't y'all come pick it up? No, we didn't come pick it up. But from our records shows that y'all came and pick it up. I said, we didn't pick it. We don't have it. And so they're inferring now that we come and pick it up, and we're trying to get another one from them. And I'm thinking to myself, self, these people are being difficult. So I went back and talked to the elders about it. And we and the elders, prayerfully, the Lord said, let it go. Bless them. Let it go. So the Lord said, that power washer don't mean that much. Give me some props now. Worship me. Let it go. Don't make an issue of it. Release it. I'm just going to tell you something. There's something about releasing the things that we put value in over our value in God. When God is more valuable to us than some of the things we think we own, we're just stewards. We don't own nothing. He's checking our attitudes. He's checking where we are with Him. Releasing difficult people empowers us to, number six, live redemptively. Ephesians 4:32, instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. As believers, we're called to live redemptively. Yes, it's hard to live with the tensions and the stresses that go on in each day. It's hard to deal with difficult people. However, the only way that I can do it is to realize how much God has forgiven me. That's the only way I can do that. Because me and you, we've been forgiven, we can choose to forgive people that are difficult in our life. I remember when I was offended with some powerful people in my life, but they offended me, and they were in ministry, and I was dealing with them. I didn't know what to do with it because they were being difficult. And man, I was on my face. I asked God, I need help, Lord. It's eating my lunch up. I'm rehearsing it and I'm nursing it. And I'm being cursed in the process. And I don't like it. And while I'm on my face, the Lord gives me a vision of what He did for me. I mean, He gave me a vision of it. And then in my spirit, I heard Him speak. In my spirit, forgive them. they don't know what they're doing. You talk about setting me free. When God revealed to me that the lens that they were looking through wasn't a good lens, they had no clue what they were doing. That wasn't their intent. I was able to get up like a butterfly delivered from a cocoon. And I was able to embrace them and bless them and release them and honor God in the process. Living a redemptive life is what we're called to do. Jesus wants you to know today that you'll never have to forgive anyone more than He's already forgiven you. He's saying, don't be closed-armed to people when He's open arms. You won't have to forgive anybody more than God's already forgiven you. So how do we deal with difficult people? This is how you do it. You walk in forgiveness and you live in freedom. You walk in forgiveness and you live in freedom. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now about this message? As we stand right now, I want to pray for you. Just agree with me today, if you would, prayerfully. Lord, thank you for a direct word from heaven. For us to be the stewards that you've called us to be as believers, we need empowerment. We need your Spirit. We need to be able to give forgiveness. But Lord, if we haven't received it, how can we give it? And today, Lord, if you would, Lord, just validate in every heart what level of forgiveness people have received. Let everybody know where they are. Do they really believe that you've forgiven them? And if they don't believe it yet, help their faith right now. Help them deal with their own unbelief of your own forgiveness to them, so that today they can receive that forgiveness, so that they'll be able to give that forgiveness to difficult people and understand where those people are. When they leave today, they're able to walk with you and be a steward of your kingdom, bearing in their life the ministry of reconciliation, extending grace and mercy to whoever comes in their path. Father, you are the miracle worker. Only you can do this. In the name of Jesus, let forgiveness become real to everyone today. I don't know where you at personally right now, but it's challenging to walk through life with difficult people if we haven't experience the mercy of God in our own life. And if you're that person right now and you haven't experienced God in a way that empowers you to release people and forgive them and become God's steward of them in prayer and encouragement, edification, building them up, if you're not operating there, then the Lord wants you to understand that today, that if you'll just repent to that mindset, I repent right now, Lord. I need your forgiveness. That He will meet you right there. I mean, that's the first step in being saved is repentance. If you're going to be saved, you got to meet that step. That's one. And as you repent, all of the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Why? Because someone's saying, I'm ready to go, Lord, wherever you want to go. I can't figure out how you're going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to get this power experience that you're about to give me, but I can repent. Amen. I can do that. If you're ready to repent today, amen, the Lord's ready to receive that repentance. He's ready to give you forgiveness. You don't have to leave without that miracle in your life. Amen.